good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you taking the time to come and join us here today.
Oh, hey, man. It's my pleasure. Seriously.
Great. And listen, before I get started, I just wanted to make sure, is it okay if we record this and use it as a podcast for our site?
Yeah. I'm walking, so if you could sort of let people know that I have functioning lungs and I'm not panting because we're talking about my movie. I'm strolling through downtown Lawrence, Kansas, actually, as we speak.
Wow. Well, you know what? You just told them.
Okay, good.
So it looks like you're in Kansas now.
I am.
Well, listen, it looks like you're really a first-time feature director here. And one of the first questions I know that our readers are going to be interested in is, you know, what's your background in film?
You know, my background in film is primarily as a fan. I've only wanted to be a director since I was 10 years old, and it was kind of difficult to try and find a way into that. I fell into doing stand-up when I was in college, and my hope was to somehow be successful enough that somebody would let me direct a sitcom that I could be on or something like that. I've had every production job that you can possibly have. I've been a PA, I've been a production coordinator, I've been a producer, I've been a director of, like, you know, commercials and just anything. I've been a host, I've been an actor. But there is nothing that can prepare you for directing a film. No. There is no, it's not a learning curve, it's a learning cliff.
Yeah, I'll bet. Is it easier directing your own script as you did here?
Well, I guess. I mean, I only have, you know, one experience to which I can point, you know, or that could provide me with any context. Having done that, I can't imagine someone directing something that they didn't write. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but...
Well, it happens all the time.
It happens all the time, but, you know, I didn't have to reach for the answers to any questions, you know? I really know those people, and I kind of know what I was going for, and for me, it was just the continuation of the same process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was like, here's the next part in telling this story.
Right. Now, in directing this film, what would you say your directing influences are? You've worked a lot in the field, so you've probably had exposure to some of the big directors. What would be your biggest influences?
Well, I guess, you know, I guess tonally, one of the things that I was shooting for with this movie, no pun intended, was I kind of like the sort of throwback to, I guess, what we call old-fashioned movies, you know? Like, I really like Preston Sturges. I really like Billy Wilder.
Uh-huh.
I like the feel of those. I love the Philadelphia Story. I love His Girl Friday. You know, I mean, everyone does. Those are classics. I'm not breaking any new ground here. But I kind of miss the feel of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I feel that, like, a lot of times in what we call romantic comedies today, there's a level of cynicism, you know?
Absolutely.
People become crass. Being hyper, you know, having hyper sexualized dialogue takes the place of actual, you know, witty intellectual banter, which I get isn't for everybody, but it's what I was going for. Certainly Woody Allen, you know, you have like these smart, sarcastic people talking about the larger issues of life, in fabulous apartments and houses.
You know, I was going to say
a little bit of that in there.
From this film, I was going to ask, that was going to be my next question, is Woody Allen, because there certainly seems to be some Woody Allen influence here.
Yeah, well, I think that I have, and this is where the comparison begins and ends, I have a similar, I guess, mindset, you know?
Sure.
I want to use jokes to explore the darker, more tragic, more hilarious, heartbreaking, romantic aspects of the human condition. You know, I think that as long as you can keep people laughing, you can talk about anything that you want. In this case, you know, one of the issues they're dealing with is, you know, how do you reconcile yourself with a God who's silent?
Exactly.
Not in itself a hilarious topic, but, you know, if you get some funny people to sort of explore that issue, then it's entertaining.
Let me ask you another question, going back to actually the meat and potatoes of directing. What did you find to be the absolute hardest or most unexpected task in this job?
I guess, you know, I guess the thing that nothing can prepare you for is, because, you know, you go through pre-production and you're planning all these things, and you know everybody, right? Like,
right.
You met the actors, spent a lot of time with them, everyone's worked together for like a couple months at this point, but the actual pressure of the first day of shooting, it's completely different. You have no idea what it's like to have 80 people stop what they're doing and turn to look at you and see what it is that you're going to say,
right.
what you want them to all do next. That is like, it's just amazing.
Well, apparently you got over it. You did a good job.
There is a FedEx truck that's interrupting my podcast.
That's okay. Hey, listen, I got it. The big question I think a lot of our readers want to ask about this film is, what's up with the alternative names? How come we use the character name, sometimes the title, and then we get the answer man? What's up with that?
Originally, it was called The Dream of the Romans.
Oh, okay, then that's even the third one.
Right, the screenplay that I wrote was called The Dream of the Romans.
Okay.
And that title didn't make sense until the very last scene of the script.
Right.
Lou Taylor Pucci's character kind of has this monologue that sort of illuminates the meaning behind that title. When we were cutting, I'm sorry, let me back up a little bit. So we make the movie, and it's called The Dream of the Romans,
right.
And we screened it for some people, including ourselves, and we decided to not have that final scene in the movie. Right?
Okay.
Because, you know, Jeff Daniels and Lauren Graham's characters, their romance is so satisfying that, you know, once they're together, I kind of felt like we were done.
Okay.
So then you can't call it The Dream of the Romans, because it won't make any sense.
Right.
So we get picked up by Sundance, you know, we're going to be in competition, we don't know what to call it, we spend months and months and months trying to, like, well, how are we going to call it, we're arguing, right? How about just Arlen Favor? Simple, sweet. Then Magnolia picks up the movie, right?
Right.
And they're like, well, who's that? You know what I mean? What does that mean? That's not very commercial.
Okay.
And they chose The Answer Man.
So how do you feel
there
about
you go.
How do you feel about the title, The Answer Man? Are you okay with it?
I, as a writer, don't love it. You know.
Yeah.
But people who never knew any of the other titles think that sounds they like it.
Well, it's
you
catchy.
Know, like I'd go to film festivals. I'm like, hey, it used to be called this. What do you guys like better, that or The Answer Man? They're like, The Answer Man, because that's how they know it. So really, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does make sense. I mean, when you look at the story, The Answer Man really does make sense.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, really, it doesn't matter what something's called, right? Like, I mean, I give you Once. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Hey, it's an Irish musical. It's called Once.
Okay. Now, the filming location, you filmed this mostly in the Philadelphia area. I kind of grew up in that area. How was that like?
It was fantastic.
Are you from
the film commission there was amazing. I mean, it couldn't be a better place to shoot a movie. It's like everyone's behind you.
Uh-huh.
You know, the city's behind you, the police are behind you, the neighbors are behind you, the merchants are behind you. Like, I had such a great time there. You know, I stayed just off Rittenhouse Square.
Uh-huh, I know it.
Beautiful, you know, like everywhere you point the camera, there's something neat to look at.
And it's an iconic city.
I'll go back there again in a second.
Yeah, it's an iconic city, and you did find a way to kind of work it into the film a bit.
Yeah, I did. I lived there for 3 months, and I just thought it was really beautiful. And so we went back to do some second unit for some of the kind of transitional montages that are in the movie. And I'm like, hey, here's my favorite places.
Great. Hey, let's go to casting here, if you don't mind. When you were writing The Answer Man or The Dream of the Romans, when you were writing this, did you have certain actors in mind for these characters, and how involved were you in the casting?
I'll take the first part first.
Okay.
I do have people in mind when I'm writing. They change. Primarily, though, I'd have to say that for the character of Arlen Favor, I kind of had my dad in mind.
Okay.
He's kind of the real-life version of Arlen Favor. Just as this movie is about fathers and sons, the inspiration started with my father. You know, like in the movie, you see Arlen freaking out because somebody rings the doorbell and interrupts something important that he's doing.
Right.
My dad's like that.
Aren't we all, though?
Yeah. Probably, hopefully not to the extent, I guess, that Arlen Favor is, but...
Yeah.
And Lauren Graham's character is kind of inspired by my sister. Chris's character is sort of inspired by some things that I went through. So I was kind of really pulling from life to a certain degree, and ultimately, I guess all the characters talk like I do. So there's that.
So what does your family think about that?
He thinks it's great.
That's great.
It's great, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not really like that. It's not like, hey, man, you've totally, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand you made it for a film, but, I mean, having that basis, I mean, he must be pretty neat.
It is. I mean, you know, it's kind of a love letter in a sense to fathers and sons, you know, like fathers who are missing and fathers who have left and fathers who have died. And if there's a heavenly father, what's up with that? And just all these people learning that they need each other and that, you know, the answers they've been looking for are actually found in the person who's across the table from them. That's a nice thought. And certainly in our best moments, we remember that that's true in our lives. And as far as the casting process, you know, we kind of did it backward. A lot of times you get a financier on board and then they tell you who would be meaningful or helpful moving forward in terms of casting. And Kevin Messick, the producer, and I decided to cast the movie first, like get the people that we thought would be perfect for the roles and see if anybody wanted to pay for that. So Jeff and Lauren came on board like 5-6 months before we had any money.
What about Jeff Daniels?
Yeah, Jeff got the script on a Friday, read it over a weekend. We talked on him on a Monday, and he was in. And, you know, that's what really started the ball rolling.
So the script really started the film.
I'll just love him forever for that because, I mean, he agreed to do it with a first-time guy. There's no money in place, but he loves the material. And once he's on board, it's kind of easier to get other people. Like, well, hey, do you want to be, you know, in a Jeff Daniels movie?
Right, so the
script... Want to be in scenes with Jeff Daniels? You know, the answer is, you know, usually yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like the script really sold these people on it because they didn't really have anything else to put their meat into.
Hang on, I was kind of losing you there for a sec.
I said it sounds like it's the script that really sold these people because they didn't really have anything else to really put their meat into at the time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it all starts with the script, you know, literally, figuratively. I'd written that, and I thought, like, well, people in my family will really like it. I was just trying to get an agent.
Yeah.
And it just became one of those scripts that, you know, was getting passed around all over town, and for 5 minutes, I was the guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Five minutes later, there was another guy, which is fine, you know?
Yeah. That's the business.
And everybody liked it, and thankfully, that translated to the actors as well.
Now, let's talk about the story just a little bit. My reading of it a little bit, there's a bit of cynicism in the story. Is that intended? Is that really a part of what you're trying to get across?
Hopefully not cynicism. You know, I do want to mock New Age psychobabble to the extent that its purpose could serve anything other than pointing you in a certain direction.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, having a book like, you know, The Secret or, you know, A Course in Miracles, which I like a lot, you know, like these things are supposed to be, for me at least, in my way of thinking, indicators of a direction, not answers unto themselves.
Right.
And people's adherence, or I guess the desperation to which they cling to these life preservers that get tossed their way from publishing houses, was something that I made fun of when I was doing stand-up. You know,
right.
Even, you know, I got to tell you though, man, like even talking about it, like I hear myself saying these things and it's like, I don't feel this strongly.
Right? Yeah.
It was, you know, you're trying to come up with elements that would tell a compelling story and what sort of themes could bump up against each other and be interesting. And, you know, certainly if you're going to have a guy who wrote the most important book, you know, on the creator ever, you're going to come in contact in your story with people who are going to be fanatical.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now let's just take the story a little further here. Suppose now, whatever title they end up seeing, someone who's coming into your film for the first time, maybe thinking about going to see the film, maybe thinking about buying the DVD or Blu-ray, what would you tell them if they were asking you now, what should I expect? What kind of movie is it that this is? What is this Answer Man? How would you describe it?
I think that it's a hopefully a smart, heartfelt, dramatic, romantic comedy that doesn't take itself too seriously, but takes the lives of the characters and the emotions that are behind them very seriously. You know, my whole goal, right,
yeah,
was just to make a movie. And, like, I have no other sweeping goal than that. You know, I want you to come and have a good time, maybe think about some things, and if you can talk about it all the way to your car, then that's it, right? Because
yeah,
then after that, you're like, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, I'm hungry, too. Let's go get something to eat. I wanted it to be kind of a throwback. You know, there aren't any sex scenes, right? Like, people aren't crass. There is no car chase. There's nothing wacky. There's just some interesting characters trying to work out the stickier parts of what it means to be a human with a heart.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good description. So now with this in the bag, what's up next for you? What kind of projects are on the horizon?
Well, I wrote a script called Christmas in New York that I really want to make. Obviously, it takes place at Christmas in New York.
I hope so.
And we were pretty close to getting that made last year with some rich Wall Street guys financing it, but I quickly became less than their first priority given the current economic status.
I can understand that.
I love that. That's probably my favorite script that I've written. I just because I love the characters in it so much. It's six stories that all drive toward Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The idea being that even though you usually feel that the world is against you, if not out to get you, there's 2 days a year, regardless of what you believe in, that the world's actually on your side. You know, people will hold the door for you or let you in traffic, and banners in the streets say peace, and kids are singing songs about angels, right?
Right.
So, like, if you want to take your shot at being the person you hoped you could be, it's never going to get any easier on those 2 days.
Wow, it sounds like a really good idea. So far, though, you're still not close to making that now?
Not currently, you know. Like, I mean, that's not going to happen for this year. Again, I have to shoot it in New York at Christmas. So we'll probably pick up that ball again, you know, in the spring.
Do you have anybody any actors interested, like you did with this script, to maybe help you get the ball rolling?
Yeah, I did. You know, I had a bunch of, I mean, there's 14 leads in this movie, and I had a bunch of people attached that I was just big fans of.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll still be available when we pick it up again.
Well, it sounds like an intriguing story. I hope that we get to see it. And I want to thank
Me
you.
Too.
Yeah, I really do. It'd be something. I like Christmas. I'm low with you. That's my favorite time of the year. The world changes. It's beautiful. No, I
Isn't
love
it
Christmas.
Great?
Yeah, it's absolutely. And even living down here in Florida now where it's warm, I still feel the Christmas. People ask me how you get
it. Doesn't matter,
it.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You're absolutely right.
No.
So that sounds like a movie I really want to see. So hopefully you'll get the support behind it and maybe get to film it next Christmas.
I'd love that.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. The movie's The Answer Man, and we hope people go out there and take a look at it. It's a romantic comedy that, like you said, doesn't lean on so much of the innuendo and the crudeness and the toilet jokes, and that's a refreshing change right there.
Well, thank you so much for wanting to speak to me in the first place and calling attention to our little film, and I hope that your listeners enjoy it. I really, really do. That was my intention all along.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you very much, and I hope to be talking to you next year about the Christmas movie.
I'd love that, Gino. Thank you.
You take care, John. Enjoy Kansas.
Thanks a lot, man. I will. Bye.
Right.